So I started drinking and trying to numb myself from that. And unfortunately, it took the best of me. And I tried with all of my might to beat it on my own. I remember laying at night crying to God, please take this away from me. Please heal me. And I just couldn't beat it.
Maybe you've been there on your bed. God, please just take away whatever it is, the alcohol, the drugs, the marriage problems, the abuse, the bad attitude, the depression, whatever it is. Can you trust him? Time to step back from the brink a little bit on today's Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach, husband and father, best-selling author, and your advocate for the family. Has God rescued you from something that was so big, so difficult, that only He could do it? Tell us your story. Now, from the studios at the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, here's Randy.
All right, thank you, Kurt. You know, we at the Intentional Living Center, here's what we believe. We believe that either God's word is true or it's not. It either is legitimate or it's not. Either God is a God of healing and restoration and helping people out of the pit and giving them second chances, or He's not. And we just choose to believe that it is real. We've seen the evidence of it in the people in people's lives, and that's why we have sold out here to this message of God's intentional love for us is transformational, forgiving, grace-filled for us, and in turn, we choose to the best of who we are, which isn't a lot, but whoever we are, to give back to God our intentional love through service and care to others. And today, you're going to hear one young woman share her powerful story of stepping back and letting God do His work in her life. Kelly joins me right after this.
I was at the point where if I had listened to the doctors, where they told me I'd never be able to work again, if I had believed that, I would have given up and sat down and just, gone with it, probably been on welfare or whatever. But I believed God more than I believed the doctors. And He's brought me up to where I am today.
I tell you what I about gave up on was our marriage. She was trying to shove that stuff down my throat, and I wasn't about to hear it. And so I was really close to throwing the towel in and just giving up, and just saying, the heck with it. It was both about another route here. And like I say, the Lord came into my heart and opened up my eyes to that, and started getting into the scriptures, and He saved me, and I was born again.
I had an oil field truck wreck a few years ago, and it was pretty traumatic. I got depressed because I wasn't able to work. I didn't know what to do with the depression, and the only thing that kept me going was I listened to you guys a lot during that time, and that one thing that I was doing was listening to you guys and keeping in the Word.
Thank you for sharing that story. When we hear what God is doing in the lives of people, it's always so very encouraging to us, and we love to hear what God's doing in your life. Share that with us at 888-1717. We have on the phone today one with a story. Kelly is in Lubbock, Texas. Kelly, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you so much, Dr. Carlson.
We had a chance to talk a little bit before we went on the air, and I know that you have a story that's still in process, like all of our lives is still in process, but tell us a little bit about your past, where you've come, and what's led you to where you are today.
Absolutely. I think I have probably what most people would consider the normal childhood. I grew up in a two-parent home. My parents would have been married for 40 years before my father passed away, and I should have been what everybody would consider the normal child. Went through graduate school and went to work and started dating a man, and unfortunately my father passed away, and I ended that relationship in a six-month time period and started drinking because I just didn't know how to deal with that situation.
Was it the pain? Were you drinking to kill the pain?
Yeah, trying to make it go away, which is funny because alcohol does not make it go away in any way, shape, or form. It actually intensifies it, but it's a very deceiving disease, and will tell you that this will make it all go away. You won't have to feel it. And so I started drinking and trying to numb myself from that. And unfortunately, it took the best of me. And I tried with all of my might to to beat it on my own. I remember laying at nights crying to God, please take this away from me, please heal me. And it just, I just couldn't beat it. Mm. And I tell people that God saved me in a very interesting way. I actually ended up getting in a car wreck at 5 o'clock in the evening, got charged with DWI, totaled my car, but God protected me. I didn't hurt anybody at 5 o'clock in rush hour traffic. I didn't hit anybody. I didn't hurt myself, but woke up and realized, and my brother-in-law said, are you done now? And I said, yeah, I'm done. I'm finally done. God opened my eyes to what could have been a very, very bad situation.
Wow.
And I resigned my job, made the decision to go into a treatment program for 30 days, wrestled a lot with God, but actually came to terms with he's the only one that can beat addiction. You can't do it by yourself. And he and I walked out of there best friends again. And, you know, I told the lady I spoke to before, I said, you know, I don't know if that can be considered intentional. You know, I got in a car wreck. That was certainly not intentional. But the intentional piece, I think, is living every day saying, I'm going to let God be in control.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know? It's not where we start this journey. It's where we end it. And every story that we hear on Intentional Living, Kelly, is a story of loss or challenge or opportunity. We're all come at this from a different place, from a different experience. Yours happened to lead to an accident and alcoholism, but that's not the end of the story. You know, if that were the end of the story, that'd be discouraging. There's more to it. We want to hear the rest of that story. And in particular, in your case, Kelly, how you are choosing to be intentional as you move forward now, some changes in your life, and as a result, where it's leading you. Because like so many, you've chosen to turn this into something positive in your life. We'll hear more of that in a moment.
This is Lori Allen. Several years ago at a convention for professional speakers, the one on the stage told us to talk about the one thing that we were bursting to tell, the one secret we had learned in life that we needed to share. That advice challenged me. I don't know that I have any secrets you couldn't find out yourself, and I certainly was not going to burst at the seams if I didn't share my opinions with you. I know that may be hard for you to believe. But the light bulb went off when I realized that every time I hear horrible news, I say something like, knowing Jesus would help solve that problem, or that poor man needs the saving grace of Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is my one thing to share with you, and I'm bursting to tell you the good news that knowing Jesus, reading his words, and following them can repair your relationships, give you confidence and hope, and teach you that there's more after this life. And that makes all the bad news seem less relevant. For Intentional Living, I'm Lori Allen.
Thank you, Lori. Lori Allen helping us focus on what it means. Well, not us, because I'm a guy, but for women to be intentional as a woman, and men and women to be intentional in our walk with Christ. Boy, I'll tell you, the Bible says to figure out what pleases him and then do it. That's our message. Today we're hearing one woman's story, Kelly. Sounds like a sweetheart, but went through some real challenges in her life, leading to taking that first drink, which led to another drink, which led to alcoholism, and eventually hit the bottom, literally, in a car accident, turned things around. Did you ever imagine, Kelly, that first drink you took to kill the pain, that it would lead to alcoholism?
Absolutely not. I was raised very, very conservatively in a church that didn't believe in drinking or dancing. Actually never had my first drink until I was 22 years old. And in fact, I worked on getting my bachelor's degree and was working in my internship with kids with drug and alcohol problems. Mm. And I remember telling people, I want to be a counselor, but I can't relate to them because I'm not an addict. And when all of this happened and I was going through treatment, my counselor said, congratulations, God gave you your wish.
Wow.
And I kind of laughed and I was like, this is not the way I intended to get here. But, you know, this is where God wanted me the whole time, is I have a heart for people that struggle with addiction because I understand it's such a baffling disease that can control you. And now, unfortunately and fortunately, I understand it in a personal way and how it can consume your life. And so I've actually God opened the door for me while I was in treatment to say, it's time for you to go back to school. You've put it off, and you've given an excuse, and now I'm showing you this is what I want from you. So I actually enrolled in graduate school this past fall, and just in the process next week of completing my first semester, I'm working on getting my counseling degree to help people with addiction.
Good for you. Good for you. What have you learned or learning about yourself through this process, Kelly?
You know, I think the piece for me that sometimes, you know, I've talked to so many people and dealt with so many people with addiction, and they have amazingly hard stories and hard lives. I remember going into treatment and saying, I don't have that story, you know. I don't have, you know, that story of being abused as a child or, you know, experiencing sexual molestation or anything like that. But what I figured out is that God created me with a pretty tender spirit that unfortunately was impacted by some smaller, what some people would consider smaller things, but were huge things. And I needed God. And I think it made me realize that there's so many people that are just crying out and want help from the Lord and just don't know how to get it. And I think if there's more of us that can just be a voice and to say, you're not alone in this, you're not the only one that's experienced this, this does not make you a failure. It doesn't make you less than. I think that more and more people can experience recovery and experience God's love.
Absolutely. And I want you to come back as we're talking about the power of God's healing and recovery in our lives. And in your case, it led to a point that you never thought you'd be as an alcoholic. That wasn't your background. Alcohol wasn't a part of your upbringing. But now how you're moving forward. I'd like to hear specifically to talk to those who are in need recovery in their life. What does that mean? And what are some intentional things that you're doing and they can be doing in their life?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Dr. Randy's comment today about the forgiveness that the Lord requires when he said 70 times 7. As he made that statement, the Lord revealed to me that sometimes we struggle with, did God really forgive me? But if he would require of us to forgive 70 times 7, which means never-ending forgiveness, then he would do the same for someone that constantly has a battle with a sin, that his forgiveness is unending. Just want to comment on that today. Thank you for your show and the help you give us through the teachings and also through the testimonies we hear online. Thank you.
Well, we're humbled to do it. And, you know, that verse that talks about forgiving 70 times 7, you do the math, it's 490 times. So if you've been keeping track and you hit 490, does that mean on the 491st you can go at him? No, I don't think that's God's intention. But at the same time, we talk about putting boundaries in place. And how do you do that? That's part of the growing spiritual part of our walk with Christ, to know that we're to forgive one another, but also have boundaries, and we're to be patient and long-suffering and waiting on God, but we're also to be intentional. It's that growth in Christ that gives us the understanding in this area. That's why Intentional Living is here. We're for you on the radio, online. By the way, if you go to your app store on your smartphone, you can put an IL app on your phone. It will be there for you wherever you go. I have it on mine. I encourage you to check it out for yourself. Just go to your app store and go to Intentional Living. We'd love to have you join us on this journey.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. So how are you being intentional? Please share your story with us. Either join our Facebook family at theintentionallife.com and click on the Facebook icon, or call our toll-free story line, 1-888-888-1717. You and your story could end up on the program. And just think, God could use it to encourage someone on the other side of the planet. That's theintentionallife.com for Facebook, or 1-888-888-1717 for our storyline. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Don't go away. Kelly continues her story with Dr. Randy on the second half. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
No other book has more impact than the Bible. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Don and I are looking forward to touring the brand new Museum of the Bible this October and want to share the experience with you.
And I'm Peter Brooks. Together we'll tour Washington, D.C.'s most iconic sites and discover the Bible's influence in many familiar, though sometimes surprising, places, often hidden in plain sight.
Affirming your faith while providing the vacation of a lifetime for you and your family. We're so excited to share the Intentional Living Washington, D.C. tour this October with you.
Yeah, it won't be the same without you. So here's your opportunity to sign up now.
And signing up is easy at theintentionallife.com/Washington. That's theintentionallife.com/Washington. After that, we'll enjoy a vacation together October 10th through 16th in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. I was checking out our blog the other day at theintentionallife.com, and Dr. Randy's article was sweeping away negative emotions. And if that sounds like something you need to read, go to theintentionallife.com. It's good stuff.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Robert. The way I live intentionally is recently I was hospitalized. We realized I was a very high type 2 diabetic, and I have decided to start living intentionally by losing a lot of weight, exercising every day, spending more time with my family, not being so tired.
Hello, my name is Javette from Springfield, Missouri. I want to intentionally encourage Dr. Carlson and Intentional Living. I think that this is a much-needed ministry and that he and everyone there are doing an excellent job.
My one intentional thing that I do each day is I get up and I look at the glass not half empty, but half full. And I thank the Lord every day. I said, this is the day that he has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it.
Hey, listen, tell us what God's doing in your life when you call 888-888-1717 and what difference it makes when you choose to get up and be intentional with your life. Kelly's joining us on the line from Lubbock, Texas. And Kelly, you do have a gentle spirit. I can hear that in your voice. You have a passion for people, concern for people. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes that can get us into trouble as well, as you know. And you're choosing to go now and train. You're in your program and in a master's program in counseling to work with addiction, folks that are struggling with addiction. What do you say to your what do you say to those who are listening, and maybe even to yourself? What have you learned about how people who need to go through recovery? What are the steps they need to take in their life to be intentional?
You know, I think the first step, you know, the program that I went through is an AA-based program. And, you know, there are people that don't believe in standardized programs. And I would tell you, if you've ever done any research in AA at all, it is a God-filled program. And one of the first things that you have to do is admit that you're powerless over that disease, that addiction, whatever that drug or alcohol is, or even, you know, for some people it's sex, it's gambling, it's shopping, it's eating. But then the second piece is realizing that the only person that can fix it is God. So every day you wake up and you say, God, thank you that I'm sober today. Help me to stay that way just for today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I just have to worry about today, because as long as I'm walking hand in hand with you, you're going to get me through today, and we'll worry about tomorrow tomorrow. And that sounds so simple to some people that haven't experienced this. But when you are in the midst of addiction, you're not even going day by day. You're going minute by minute. It's this minute I choose not to take a drink. This minute I choose not to smoke anything or shoot up anything. And there's such a craving that comes into it that if you've never experienced addiction, you don't understand that it truly takes the power of God to be able to manage that and to live day by day with it. And so for me, it's that starting the day saying, thank you for keeping me sober today, you know, and saying those prayers. And then walking out life honestly. You know, that program is all about rigorous honesty, which is extremely difficult, because the first person you have to be honest with is yourself and God. You know, be honest enough to say, I have a problem, and then honest enough to say, this is not a problem that's going to get fixed in a day, and I have to keep working through this every day with God. Because if I stop working it, I'm going to end up right back where I was, and possibly worse. You know, I have a 7-year-old little boy that unfortunately kind of experienced this with me, but at the same time, he was young enough that he doesn't remember all of it. He knows enough that it's good, and we talk about it, and we're open, and we're honest about it. And my hope and my prayer is that by being open and honest with him and telling him how God healed me from this, that hopefully he doesn't have to experience this one day.
Kelly, you have a genuine spirit that comes through. You have a vibrant passion to help people, and I wish you the very best as a young woman starting this journey with the history that you've been through that you're finding victory over. Do you hope that when you get done with your training, you're going to work in a treatment center?
That is what I'd like to do. The program that I went through is a wonderful God-based program that I really, really enjoyed. So I would love to go back out there at some point. But I know there's more people that probably I can touch. But, you know, my brother-in-law is very open about it. And he's like, it's a demon. And I said, yeah. You know, nobody likes to say that. But it is definitely, there is some sort of force there that, if you don't have God, I don't know how you beat this disease, truly.
What's your opinion? I mean, you've been through this. You grew up in a Christian home. It sounds like alcohol was a taboo. You know, I hear people say, well, you know, if you grew up in a home like that, that's keeping people sheltered. You have to teach people how to, you know, control alcohol. What's your view of alcohol?
To me, alcoholism is a disease. I don't think that my parents shielding me from alcohol was ever what caused this. We had some things that my sister was kind of what I call the wild child, you know, and she was quite a bit older than me. And there were some things that I just, you know, nobody talked to me about how to feel about the chaos that was kind of happening in our family. And it wasn't horrible things. It just, for a 10-year-old little girl, it was just too much for my little brain to process. And so I kind of, I call it, picked up the banner of our family, like, I'm going to be the good child, and I'm going to be the one that everybody's proud of, and you're going to look at our family and think it's wonderful. And when you put that much pressure on yourself, at some point it's going to break, you know. And I think, you know, alcoholism was actually my second addiction. My first one was actually food. I got married at 22 and didn't know what marriage looked like and was very unhappy, and I started eating and eating and eating, and ended up having gastric bypass surgery when I was 31. And so it took that coping mechanism of, I don't know how to deal with my feelings, so I'm just going to eat them away. Well, I can't do that anymore. So then at that point, I went through a divorce, had lost all this weight, and was starting to date again and was having so much anxiety because I'd never really done that. So, you know, a drink just made it a little bit easier. I was a little less anxious. And then all of a sudden, that was just how to cope with feelings. You're feeling a little sad, just have some wine. You're feeling a little happy, go have some wine. So I don't think it's the shelter. I think it's, we don't know how to deal with our feelings and that anxiety that we live with in our lives. And it's just a coping mechanism.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, the God's best to you. Keep us informed as you're progressing. Love to hear your progress as you move on this journey.
Thank you so much. It was really nice to talk to you. I hope it helps somebody.
Thank you. I'm sure it will. Thank you, Kelly.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I love intentional living. I love living the intentional life through the Lord. And I'm considered a babe in Christ right now. And one of my struggles is with alcohol. I've had an addiction for 10 years, and it's been an everyday part of my life. And even after being saved, I try to make excuses to myself. It's such a big piece of my life, but I'm truly trying to give it to God, to just take it out of my life, take it out of my body, out of my soul, out of my spirit, out of my mind. And He's helped me so much. And anybody that thinks that he can't fix things, he can't change things, they need to understand that when they give it to God, he shows you that he's listening, he cares, and he loves us, and he helps us through everything.
When I feel like I can't go on, you deliver me. When the road is winding, way too long, you deliver me.
You deliver me.
You just got to give it to God. Every bit of it, give it to God. Your worries, your troubles, your habits, your addictions. And he does see you through it.
You deliver me.
Boy, thank you for sharing that. You know, talk about stepping back from the brink. If we can just kind of see into the future, and we know that if we continue on the course that we're headed, how things could happen down the road that would be dishonoring, more dishonoring to God, and certainly not to our own life. It's sort of like being in that barrel going down the Niagara River on the way to Niagara Falls. You can hear it in the distance. You can feel the rush of speed starting to build. And there's a point. There's a point of no return, you know? And we've heard the stories of the few who have gotten caught into that. It's an example, a picture of how life can be. Getting off early, pulling back from the brink, you know, you can do that. Do it intentionally. One of our goals here at the Intentional Living Center is to help you today to live today the way that God intends for you to become tomorrow. You start doing that today, and you will see yourself more and more, further and further away from the brink, which can be so self-destructive in our own lives. I want to talk today a little bit about how the desires of our heart get us into trouble. Because ultimately, what we find is even the Apostle Paul had the challenge. In Romans chapter 7, he said, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out." I mean, even the Apostle Paul reminds us that of all the things that he knew in his relationship with Christ and all that he went through, he was saying that the biggest problem I have is me. Boy, is that true. Hey, listen, I'm starting this month a two-month series exclusively for members, going on CD out to our members, called The Problem of Self this month, as I really focus on what is the problem of self, what does the Bible teach, and then how do we get intentional. Next month, the solution to self, the solution to the problem of self. So this two-part series for May and June coming to members, and to be watching for it this month. If you're not a member, come on in and join us. Your ongoing support is vitally needed and deeply appreciated. And we thank you for standing with us in support of the Intentional Living Ministry. This ministry is committed to helping people discover God's intention for life, for marriage, for health, for finance. And we benefit from it, and God gets the glory. If that sounds appealing to you, come and join us in this journey. Your monthly support allows us to be on the air to reach more people with this message. And I want to send you our new member kit, two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, The Power of One Thing and Starve for Affection. Both of them are a gift to you as you join us today. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Linda Swindling joins me tomorrow right here at Intentional Living. We'll see you then.